Welcome to another edition of Feral and Fabulous. I have the most fabulous times 10 guest today. We have the AKA Lupus Thunder at the helm, Matt Stigliano, who has been just a huge part of my life for the last almost 15 years, I guess. Yeah. So I'm super excited to have you on the podcast today, and loving that we already started it off with our shot of Platinum Patron, and we're ready to go. So I kind of want to do a deep dive. Obviously, we've been working together in real estate for the past almost 15 years, but I kind of want to do a look back at when I first met you, and I had heard that you were in this amazing rock band that was uber popular for like a gazillion years. So tell me what it was like to be, your rock name is Lupus Thunder. Tell me what it was like to be Lupus Thunder in the Bloodhound Gang for how many years were you in the Bloodhound Gang?
I did it for 14 years.
14 years. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. So pretty much almost as long as I've known you. So tell me, how did that even come about? Like, how did you end up in the Bloodhound Gang?
Let's see. I knew two of the guys that were in Bloodhound Gang before, you know, I was ever in it. The original two members.
How did you know them?
One was just kind of like a guy that everybody knew.
Okay. Locally,
know,
or?
Yeah, okay. Like if you went to the mall and hung out, which, you know, I'm old enough that the mall was still a cool place.
Thing. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You hung out at the food court and went to the, you know, play video games or whatever. If you were into punk rock and, you know, kind of that alternative scene, he was somebody that just everybody kind of knew.
Okay. When was this time frame, that, just to get an idea?
Like early 90s.
Okay.
I would have joined the band in 94.
Okay.
So probably 93, 92-ish. Well, probably around 93 when I kind of started getting to know them.
Okay.
But I knew them like in high school.
Okay.
You know, they were friends with friends of mine, but they didn't go to my high school.
Oh, okay.
Like they went to different high schools.
But you were in the same city?
General area.
Okay. Yeah. General area.
We weren't from a big city. Like we were like suburban Philadelphia. Yeah. So it was lots of small towns out around there.
So Philadelphia and surrounding cities.
It'd be like,
like somebody living here, Bernie but is to
being
San
friends
Antonio?
With somebody in Spring Branch or something.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, yeah, gotcha.
So, well, you know, we were all local to each other, just, you know, not in the same high school.
Okay.
But yeah, so I just kind of got to know the guys through that. And then I lived in a house in Norristown, Pennsylvania, and they used to break into the house. It's
the band?
Yeah, yeah. So in their early days, they were friends with all the guys I lived with, and it was a lot of people in one little house. And they used to break into the house, and they would do weird things. Like one time I came home, and our entire bathtub was filled with dirt with flowers planted in it. One time I came home, they had taken all the light bulbs out of the house.
Oh my gosh. And you were living in this house?
Yeah. And they would just.
Oh, this is crazy. I don't know this story.
I mean, it was essentially like a squat house. I mean, there was probably 13 of us living in there. It was pretty gross, you know, very young punk rock kid.
Oh, yeah.
So we.
Why did I not know any of this?
They would just do all these weird things. And some of them I can't even repeat on camera because they're bad things. Some of them almost got me killed.
You've already said some things that I'm thinking is crazy.
Off camera, I'll tell you some of the really messed up ones they did.
I can't wait to do more Platinum
Patron. Do you remember, because I know you're old enough probably that you might remember it. There was a, you know, when Jaws came out, there was a game that they made. There was a plastic shark and it had a jaw with like rubber bands. And like you had to take stuff out of its mouth. And if you didn't get it fast
enough, it
would
snap shut. I didn't know that game. I mean, I'm very familiar with Jaws and I love the genre, but I didn't know this game that you're talking about.
You know, like a little kid's game.
I knew Land Shark.
It was kind of like operation. You know, you had to get the stuff out of the shark's mouth, and if you bumped it, it would snap shut real fast.
No, I understand that, but I don't know about this.
I came back to the house and there was like a bubble bath in the tub, and I was like, oh, that's a little weird. And then I found the shark floating in it, and like, that was the kind of stuff they would do. They were just bizarre. And
this was, the band had not formed yet.
The band existed.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, but it was.
But you weren't in it.
It was five guys, the two main guys, and then three other guys. And they had like, I think they were just about to do their second demo tape right around then.
Okay. Now, were you already playing guitar at this time?
Yes, I was. Okay. I was in another band, and actually, I used to book shows in Philadelphia.
What? I didn't know any of this. Okay, this is crazy. Okay, this is going to have to. You're going to have to come back because there's not going to be enough time today. Okay, so what?
I was in a band called Uncle Otto's Truck, and
Uncle Otto's Truck.
Yeah,
and okay,
there's. You know, we used to do like shows in Philadelphia and book these shows. And I used to always get Bloodhound Gang to play because I was friends with them.
Oh my gosh.
That's kind of how I got friendly with them and, you know, really got to know them.
Okay.
And they did terrible things at those shows too. they were well known for some of the bad things they did.
They sound like pranksters.
Yes.
That's the kind way of saying
it. You didn't want to invite us to a party. We were terrible. Dave Luck, if you're out there, I'm sorry to tell this story. Dave Luck was a guy whose parents were always away. I don't know where they went, but they were always away. And he had this big house.
Traveling Europe
in the
or something.
Suburbs. And we used to have these huge parties there.
At their house?
And we were all, you know, in our 20s at that point, early 20s. And he would have these big parties, you know, everybody's drinking, and there would be bands, and Bloodhound Gang would often play. And whenever we were there, like, Bloodhound Gang would do the most messed up things in his house. Like, I remember one time there was one room had like the false ceiling, you know,
yes,
like ceiling tiles.
Yes.
So they emptied the freezer and put it all up in the ceiling tiles.
What?
So that it would thaw out and eventually
stink. What?
Yeah.
This is insanity.
And I think Dave Luck actually knows that about that story. But yeah, there's a lot of things.
Like, oh my gosh, I know none of this.
Yeah,
this is crazy.
I probably shouldn't admit half of this stuff, but.
But we're already several shots in, so who cares at this point?
No, I used to take a mace and spray toilet seats because you could tell who sat down on the toilet seat because they'd come out with their, you know.
Oh my gosh.
Stuff on fire.
Did you have like a blue light camera or something like that would show it?
No, I just didn't go to the bathroom.
Oh my gosh.
You'd go outside.
Oh my.
But it was terrible because, you know, you'd go in and, you know, somebody mace up the toilet seat or whatever. And then somebody would go in inevitably, usually a woman.
Yes.
Because they sit down on the toilet seat.
Exactly.
They would sit down
and
you know, get a little mace on the butt and like it burns.
Oh
so
my
you'd
gosh.
So you see this girl come out, you know, some cute girl that you're probably trying to hit on because, you know, you're 21 and drinking. And all of a sudden you'd see her like, you know,
pulling her pants down outside. Know, like, I'm dying.
She'd like look really uncomfortable and you're like, oh, well, I guess you went to the bathroom.
So, oh my gosh, this is insanity.
Obviously much younger days and probably some of the things we did then would be frowned upon now or get me arrested.
You'd probably be in jail. You'd probably be doing time now.
But,
in today's
world. When you're young, you don't care about those things.
I totally understand.
And we were known as like, you know, being this fun, crazy party band that would do whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and you never knew what you were going to get.
Like, yeah. So you kind of connected with these guys when you were obviously kind of hanging out, doing different gigs and stuff like that. At what point you said, hey, they knew you played guitar, right? They knew or no?
Yeah, they knew that. But when I first got into the band, we were still like a strictly rap band. Like there were no instruments.
What?
Yeah.
You were a rap band?
Oh, yeah.
I love rap. Why did I not know this?
I don't know.
That's so crazy.
Our first record is like, there is guitar on it, but it's mostly
rap?
Samples and, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
It's more hip-hop influence than
okay,
than
I'm going back and
rock.
Listening because I love rap.
You know, I would hang out with them and stuff, and they just started saying, like, hey, we're going to New York to play a show. Do you want to come? You know, and I would go, and, like, I'd help them carry in some gear or whatever. And just was their friend, you know.
Yeah.
I was hanging out with them. And then kept carrying the gear. And then, like, one day they were like, hey, do you want to come up on stage and jump around and, you know, do some backups or whatever? And I was like, sure. And then
the rest is history.
And then I became the DJ. And I say that in quotes because I never DJed. it was fake.
but everybody
knows it at this point, I think. But back then, people thought I was the actual DJ.
I gotcha.
They actually called me DJ Lupus at the time.
Oh, my gosh. I did not know that.
Yeah. And, you know, it was all recorded.
But I love it. This is
amazing.
So they
thought I was DJing, and I pretended to, but I really wasn't. And then And that's I was cool. basically there to do backup vocals.
Oh my God, you did backup vocals?
Well, shouting.
Yeah, but that's still backup. Yeah. I mean,
I did more like in the band that you know better. Like, there's a little bit of singing in there, but
yeah,
but okay. Most of it still was shouting.
Well, but that's still backup, especially for the band that you were back in the time. Yeah. I mean, that was what happened, right? So, oh my gosh, I didn't know.
I didn't know you didn't know all this.
I didn't know. You know me. I'm so clueless. I live my life and it's like real estate all day. And then I might get in a little personal stuff here and there. But I literally, after all the trips we've taken, you, me and Dave, and we've gone so many places and I didn't know half the stuff. So I'm learning a lot. So yeah. I love it. I'm super excited. Okay. So I want to know, tell me, after being in the band, let's say you were already officially in the band, what are some of your more fondest memories of that time period? Like, what do you remember back fondly? Like, what was super cool about being in at the time? And here's the thing, I do remember the band. I'm older than you, but I remember very much, I remember the MTV, I remember the music video, I remember the Bad Touch, the monkey suits, all that kind of stuff. I remember that very well, obviously not knowing you at the time at all, but I do remember that era and that time. So tell me, what was the coolest thing about being in the Bloodhound Gang at that time?
Wow, the coolest?
Yeah, fond memories.
Yeah,
like,
it's so hard to define because there's so much. You know, I got to tour the world.
Yeah.
Like I got to see the world,
yeah.
You know, with my friends to drink and have a good time.
Yeah,
to meet all kinds of cool people.
How old were you at this point?
Let's see. So I was between 22, I guess, when we started. Yeah, I was 22 when we started.
Oh, my
gosh. So probably when things really got going, I was like 25-ish.
Yeah, but you were still a baby. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
And then 28 was 2000, and that was when everything
blew up.
Really happened.
Okay.
That was the Bad Touch.
That was the Bad Touch era?
Kind of thing.
Okay. But you've been with them at this point for a few years.
Yeah, at that point, I had been there 6 years.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, there's so much cool stuff. You know, I've met my idols, you know, guys that I grew up in my bedroom, you know, like,
right.
Like thinking, oh, how cool is this guitar player?
Yeah, so tell me about that. Like, who all did you meet? I'm so curious about that. Like, I mean, I don't know that I know who all you've met.
I don't even know where to start there. You know, for me, some of the big ones, Metallica was a huge one.
Okay. Yeah. I did know that.
And not only did I get to meet them, but the first time I ever met them, we were playing a festival and they were, you know, they had their dressing room over on the side and that was probably 97. And I was just so excited, like, oh my God, you know, it's Metallica. And so I saw Kirk Hammett, the guitar player. He was sitting there just outside their dressing room. Like they have these little cabins. So it's an outdoor festival. And he's just sitting there, you know, outside, like on a little lawn chair.
Yeah.
And he's playing guitar. And I was like, oh, wow. So I went over and I said, hey man, you know, don't want to bother you. You know, I know you're busy. Just wanted to let you know, like super huge fan. Like you big influence in my life, you know,
Grew
up listening to you. And I'm really excited to watch you tonight.
Absolutely.
And he was like, oh, hey, you know, who are you? And I said, oh, I'm Lupus. I'm the guitar player in Bloodhound Gang. And he's like, oh, Bloodhound Gang. He's like, you're the guys with that video. And he starts describing the video for Firewater Burn.
Oh.
Which is, you know, back then, you know, the Bad Touch wasn't
even out.
Understand.
Right.
And he's like, I forgot, you know, with all the old people and the old folks. And I'm like, you've seen the video? Like, you know, this is a guy that I paid money to see him many times.
I've seen
him more than anybody probably.
Yeah.
And, I just couldn't believe he was saying this to me.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, it's really cool to meet you. And I'm like, oh, what do I do now? Like,
that's so crazy.
You know, so there I am, like meeting my idols.
Yeah.
You know? And they're acting.
Oh my gosh.
We're on the same level, even though he's on a different level.
No, but still, I get that.
We're talking as if we're just two guys, you know.
How cool is that?
At McDonald's or
something. Yeah. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
So it just blew my mind to be able to do that kind of stuff. And
yeah.
You know, meet all these bands and talk to them on just a normal level.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of them, you know, I never would have imagined I would have, you know, gotten to know or hang out with.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Oh, that's incredible. Oh my gosh. I love that. And what's even crazier, I didn't know a lot of this. We've talked about it, but not in this detail and not True. Like gone into these kind of specifics. So that's amazing. Okay. So that's amazing and cool. So I want to know, like, what's the downside of when you're in a rock band that's that famous? Like, what does that look like? If you can share some of those stories.
No, I mean, you know, there's definitely the problem. You know, it sounds so lame when you say it, because every kid in the world wants to do what I do.
I know, but I don't think people really appreciate the downside of that kind of thing.
And like, you know, when I just answered the last question, you know, we were talking about it, like, I got to travel the world and see the world.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
Yeah, amazing.
But it was also one of the worst things because I was always traveling.
Right.
I was far away from home.
Yeah.
I missed friends' weddings.
How do you have a life?
Yeah, well, you know.
Is your life?
A good friend of mine, you know, one of the guys I grew up with that, you know, was one of my best friends. He was getting married and he said, hey, you know, I really want you to be in my wedding and I'd like you to be one of my best men. And I said, I can't. Because I don't know, it's summer, and he would. Luckily, he had toured before, so he knew.
I know, but I get that.
Go to his wedding. I did get to make it to his wedding, but I just couldn't be there.
Couldn't commit to be the in the wedding party because you were just not sure of what that would look like.
I was afraid I might miss his wedding. You know, it was possible.
No, I get that. Oh my gosh, that's so crazy, and I do relate to that on a different level, but I do appreciate what you're saying. And it's like your life, although you've committed to do this thing, your life is not your own necessarily.
Oh no, it was totally controlled by other people. 100%.
Exactly. No, exactly.
Like I was married for part of it.
Yeah.
For
a long part of it.
And you know, my ex-wife now, she's one of the most wonderful people because she put up with so much.
Yeah.
And I can remember going home like during the summer. You know, we had a 2-week break, I think it was. And in fact, we were living here in San Antonio. I remember it. And we had a 2-week break. And I came home and I said, hey, you know, great to be home. Oh, this is great. You know, haven't seen you in a while. You know, poor her. She had to deal. Well, maybe lucky her. She didn't have to deal with me for months at a time.
It's all perspective.
Yeah. So, we were excited. We were trying to make plans of what we were going to do because we had 2 weeks before I had to go back to Europe.
Yeah.
And I got a call like 2 days in and they were like, we got to go tomorrow, like back to Europe because we got an offer that just we couldn't turn down.
Oh my gosh.
And so there I was packing up and saying goodbye. So, you know, even like my personal life, I couldn't always count on, you know, because we had to go when the money was there. And,
I get that.
You know, if somebody wanted us to be on TV or something and it was a, you know, big show.
Yeah, what can you do?
You know, I remember one of the shows was Harold Schmidt in Germany, who's like the David Letterman of Germany, basically.
Oh, wow, okay.
And they called and said, hey, we want you on this date. And we were like, okay, you know, how do we get there?
Right.
Like, start booking tickets.
Yeah, so you have to kind of keep that as a basically, that's your purpose. That's what everybody's, you know, there to do. So you don't really have a lot of latitude on, oh, can't be there. Sorry, I've got to go watch this or do this or whatever. You don't really have that option, do you?
No.
Yeah.
No. And especially because, you know, you're one of five guys.
I know.
So, you know, my needs.
Yeah.
You know, well, the other guys want to make money.
It's like, exactly. You're like way down on the list in terms of who's going to have the, you know, latitude to say, no, we're not going to do that. Or we are going to do that.
So, you know, but despite that, like despite the downside of it and there, you know, I can remember having a fever and like, I mean, I was delusional. I was so sweaty and feverish.
Sick.
It's showtime. I got to get on stage.
Oh, my gosh.
And,
tell me about that, because I don't think anybody really talks about that. I mean, you hear about artists saying, look, I'm sick, and I'm going to – this is a crazy reference, but I think that Kelsey Ballerini, like in the last year or two, she had a concert that she was playing, and she had the flu. Like, everybody's had the flu at some point. If you've lived long enough, you've had some sort of illness, and – she's like, I think in the middle of a concert, she's like, guys, I'm too sick to go on. And she had to just call it quits. And I totally get that. I mean, I've been sick to the point where I thought I was going to die and not make it through the night, you know? So I can relate to that. What did you do when you were sick? I mean, what did anybody do?
You know, so my entire career, I missed two shows.
One. What?
Yep. And that's it. And we were all pretty good about that. Like, you know, you just did what you had to do. I mean,
did the doctors like give you like shoot you up with like steroids or whatever to try and help you get through it?
You know, there was always some medication to help you through. And yeah. There's a lot of adrenaline to it.
Of course. I mean,
like when I was sick, like I was, there's a band called Caviar that we had just started a tour with. It was like in the Midwest.
Okay.
And I just caught the flu kind of bug. And I mean, I was shivering, you know, just so sweaty all the time. I walked around, I had a sweatshirt, like a hoodie that I wore, and I wore it like the hood up, like, cause I didn't want anybody to see me. I just wanted to get to stage.
Just survive.
You know, sound check, go back, sleep, go back, get a bite to eat, get on stage. You know, like it was business. That's all I was doing. And I can remember, there's some photos of me that I can see it in my eyes. I'm like, that's from that show, I remember.
Oh, wow.
And like, I can see that I'm just, you know, I'm not there.
You're blanked out. I get that.
The band Caviar, one night we were hanging out and we started talking. I was like, yeah, I was really sick. It was awful. And they were like, wait a minute. Yeah, that sweatshirt you're wearing, you're the sweatshirt guy. They were like, we kept seeing you backstage and we were wondering who in the earth is this guy? That keeps, you know, he's like this mysterious guy with this hood pulled up and he never talks to anybody.
Gosh.
And they were like, it was you the whole time. And I was like, yeah, I was
You were
really
trying
sick.
Not to die.
And they were like, oh my God, I can't believe it. Like they had no idea. And they were like, you know, we were wondering who the guitar player was because we never saw him. Like we would see him on stage, but we never saw him backstage.
Yeah, because you were, again, trying not to die. Yeah, no, I totally get that. Oh, I always wondered about that. It's like when you're performing in front of thousands of people, how do you deal with that when you're like, I'm not sure if I'm going to have a problem here. I'm like, I'm really sick.
Usually a shot of Jägermeister. That was and I honestly
or Platinum
mean that,
Patron, you know, whichever you're.
We would, you know,
pick
every
your
night
poison.
We did a shot of Jägermeister before we went on
I
as a group.
I love that. I love that.
Sometimes more, depending on where we were. But that whole like sickness thing, like the only two ones I missed was once I had hernia surgery and I was on tour.
Okay.
And I felt really funny. Went to the doctor. The doctor's like, oh, you have a hernia. You need surgery today. And I was like, well, you know, we ain't getting it today. But he was like, but you can't skip it. Like, you have to have it. And I'm like, okay.
When was this?
That was 2000 in Colorado.
Oh, my gosh. That's right when you guys were blowing up.
Yeah. And we were coming back from a West Coast
trip. You were
trip.
Blowing up internally.
Yeah. Well, and you'll enjoy this. The night before, we went out for Indian food, and I had one of the best Indian meals I've ever had in my life.
Oh, my gosh. And you know how I love me
Boulder,
some Indian
Colorado.
Food.
I wish I knew the name of the restaurant, but it was so good, and we just pigged out. And I felt so sick the next day, and I was like, well, I ate too much Indian food. You know, like, sometimes you overdo it, and you feel
a little spicy. Yeah.
And so I just kept all day, but then I was like walking and it hurt. And I was like, something's wrong.
Yeah, something's not
and
right.
So I struggled. I was laying down and I was struggling to get up. It like hurt in my, you know,
physically,
stomach area.
Yeah.
And called the tour manager and he said, oh, let me get a doctor. And they took me to the doctor's and he said, oh, yeah, you got a hernia. Oh, thanks. So, I had surgery the next
here we
day.
Come.
I had surgery
you
the
had
next
surgery?
Day. And the band, I played the show that night. And just took it easy. And the band left the next morning. They left our assistant with me. And I went and had surgery. He took care of me. We laid in a hospital, you know, or in a hotel. Like, and he, you know, took care of me and made sure I was okay. And then the following day after the surgery, him and I got on a plane. Or no, we took one day off. So we had one day off in the hotel. And then the following day, we took a flight, and during that flight, they played in Kansas City. And so my guitar tech played for me that night. And then they had to drive from Kansas City to Philadelphia, which was our next show. We had a couple of days off because hometown.
Sure.
So I flew into Philadelphia to a hotel and laid in a hotel bed while they were all back home, you know, hanging out with, you know, family and friends.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually two...
You played?
Two girls I knew came and, like, took care of me and, like...
Are you kidding me?
Like, made sure I got food. And then I played the show in Philadelphia the next night. Two nights later.
After surgery.
And my guitar tech had to, like... Every night he had to, like, change my bandages for me.
Oh, my gosh. I know none of this.
Hoops was my guitar tech at the time.
Oh, my gosh.
Greatest guitar tech. He was so good because he put up with a lot and he took care of me. He would unwrap it all. And then every night before we went on stage, he would wrap me in saran wrap so I didn't, like, get blood
dripping out. Oh, my gosh. This is insane. Is Hoops still around?
Yeah. He lives in L.A. And
okay, we are getting Hoops. We are finding Hoops and we are flying Hoops in.
Hoops was great. Hoops was awesome.
We must know this Hoops. I did not know this story. Tech. That is crazy. I love this stuff behind the scenes.
And like every night, he would just wrap me up and be like, all right, boss, you're good to go. And
my gosh.
And I would just kind of, you know, do one of these and he'd put my guitar on me.
What is Hoops doing now?
I don't know. He was working like in... like
he's still
like,
working?
Well, he was working in like
you guys are
TV
young.
Production. And stuff.
Yeah, like, but still.
Because he lived in L.A. He got out of the touring business.
Okay, so he's not touring, so he's not still wrapping people in plastic, or maybe he
is. I hope
not.
poor guy. You know, he took a lot of abuse and, you know,
oh my God.
I love him to death. He was so good.
Well, you need to reach out to Hoops. We will figure this out. We will get Hoops and we will fly Hoops in.
He's got all the good dirt.
I know. I want the dirt. We've had the tennis dirt. We've had the pickleball dirt. Now I want the tour dirt. I need Hoops in my life. I need to know this stuff. This is incredible. Oh my gosh. I don't even know where to go from here. My mind is so blown from all this stuff. I've literally known you for almost 15 years and I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't know half this stuff. Okay. So tell me, of all the places that you've toured, and I can't even imagine how many places you guys have toured over those years, what was your favorite place to tour? Where did you look forward to the most that you toured?
Ooh, no, they're all tough questions. Because, you know, it's such a varied experience. And, you know, like, ask me on any day and I might tell you a different answer. Definitely Germany was a highlight of touring, and it was because we were so big there.
Yes.
It was a completely different experience.
Yes.
There. Like, I would go out in public and people would spot me everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you have the story about Vegas that we always laugh about, but I mean,
we've
like,
all got here stories
in, here in America. Like I could go anywhere. And most of the time, most people wouldn't know who I was. In Germany, everybody knew who I was.
Okay.
No, and that's what I'm saying. You have that story about Vegas.
No. But I've got other stories.
Well,
it's not just the Vegas story.
People.
No, I've been with you to restaurants. I've been with you to Kirby Steakhouse. And we've been sitting in a booth, and the waiters are coming up to you wanting your autograph.
But most of them know who I am.
That's my point.
But if I had walked in there, they wouldn't have known who I was.
I don't know.
Some of them. John would have.
Yes,
definitely.
No, I disagree with that. You know. I mean, respectfully, I've been with you enough places, restaurants, cities, whatever. And, of course, we've talked about this many times. We were in the Mandalay Bay, and this was close to like 14 years ago, something like that, 13, 14 years ago. And literally the Mandalay Bay across the casino, which is not a small casino, people are like, women are screaming, running from across the casino. And I didn't even know this at the time. Screaming Lupus Thunder, and I did not understand that you had a rock name, aka Lupus Thunder. At that time, I did not understand that. And I was trying to absorb it, thinking, and of course, you know me, I love Vegas, but I'm like, what is happening here? I am like, why are people yelling Lupus Thunder and they're running toward us? I did not know what that meant. And so that was my first kind of introduction to where, oh my God, this is a real thing. This is like a culture. This is something that dates way many years ago. And so that's why I have a better appreciation for it now, having experienced many of these situations where we've been places where people are like, oh my God, Lupus Thunder. Now I know who Lupus Thunder is, but I really didn't appreciate it at the time and didn't understand. Did I know who the Bloodhound Gang was? Absolutely. I mean, I love that, you know. Speaking of which, I love that video. I mean, that's my favorite. That's one of my favorite MTV videos of all time. The monkey suits, the Bad Touch video. I didn't, obviously, at the time when I watched it, didn't have any knowledge of you or didn't even really understand the Bloodhound Gang, but I knew that song and I knew that video. And when I first met you, for many months, you were Monkey Man to me. I mean, I still remember this. I mean, you were Monkey. That's why I'm like, oh my God, where's Monkey Man? Because I knew that you were in the Bloodhound Gang and I knew that you were one of the people in the monkey suits, but I didn't know all the background and all that crazy stuff. And so when you tell me, hey, you know, when we were touring and this was like Germany was the coolest place, which shout out to Miriam Johnson. We have a good friend, Miriam Johnson, who I've known for several years now. We're very good friends, communicate all the time. I have not been yet to see her personally in Germany, although she's come to the United States and stayed many times with us. And of course, you know Miriam as well. But I mean, I feel like, and I've heard from other people in Germany that you guys were like a sensation at the time. And so
There are bands that are way bigger than Bloodhound Gang will ever be, you know, obviously, you know.
Yeah, but at the time,
Metallica is way bigger than anything we'd ever be. But I had the full-blown taste of what rock stardom was in Germany, specifically German-speaking countries, you know, Germany, Austria, Switzerland.
Yeah.
I mean, other places too, but like Germany, it was a whole thing.
Yeah.
And like, you know, Olga on our team.
Yeah.
You know, like she knows how crazy it was. Like she remembers.
Yes.
And she was like, yeah, I wasn't even really into that kind of music, but like,
but
I
she
know.
Still even knew.
And,
right.
And I mean, there were times like I can remember getting to a cab, like with an old Turkish man in, you know, driving. And like the last guy on the planet that's going to know who Bloodhound Gang, and he's like, oh, you know, and you could see him. He was like, oh my God, you guys are in the Bloodhound Gang. You know,
that's amazing.
Jim used to always tell the story. We were in a hotel and I believe we were in Cologne that night.
And Jim was the lead singer.
Jimmy Pop was the singer, and he ordered a pizza, and him and I were in the room like doing some work or whatever. And the pizza guy
doing
came.
Some work.
No, it literally was.
It was work. Okay.
It was all work when he was around. He's a very focused man.
Okay, cool.
We were, you know, hanging out working on something, and the pizza man came, and he was like a 40-ish-year-old man, and we were, you know, at that time in our late 20s or whatever.
Yeah.
So, at that time, I would relate that to like my dad coming to the door, and like the guy nearly dropped the pizza.
That.
Like, he was so freaked out. He was like, oh, because he recognized Jim and realized, you know, oh, my God, this is the Bloodhound Gang. Like we had fake names to register at hotels, like, because we knew people would try to find us. Like, that's how bad it was.
Oh, my gosh.
Bad good it was.
That's like in the movie Notting Hill where they had to pretend to be, like, you know, Cinderella or Pebbles and Flintstone or whatever. Did y'all do that?
Yeah. We all had fake names.
That's where we would change them all the time. Oh, yeah. My gosh.
I always checked in as Otto von Bismarck, which Dave would appreciate, you know, because he's an actual German, you know, famous German.
Aficionado.
But yeah, I always used that one. I remember Willie, our drummer, he always used, I can't think of his name, Milhouse Van Houten, which was from The Simpsons.
Yes.
You know, so like we all had like little things we would do like that.
Oh my gosh.
Because, you know.
Wasn't that something in The Fault of Our Stars?
I don't know.
I don't know. I think, well, anyway.
But yeah, we would change them up. Just, it was, a lot of it was to amuse ourselves.
But I know, but that's so cool.
But we had to, because people would call the hotel and be like, hey, can I have Matt Stigliano's room? Because they would go figure out my real name.
Yes.
And then get my room or whatever.
Exactly. And, my gosh.
Like, there was people wandering halls sometimes, knocking on doors. It was bizarre.
Oh, my gosh.
Paparazzi. I went out on a date once in Germany with a girl who I'm still friends with. And we were, you know, going out to eat or whatever. And she was still kind of seeing somebody at the time.
Is that what they called it at the time?
Yeah, pretty much.
Going out to eat.
But we were together for quite some time.
Okay.
She's famous in Bloodhound Gang history.
Oh, cool.
I won't say her nickname on here. She knows it, but But yeah.
Okay, well, off camera, I can't wait to hear about this.
Well, I think I can actually, because, you know, if it's in German, nobody can.
That's right.
We won't have to censor it. But her nickname was, which, if you know anything about German, you'll figure
it out. I don't.
And
my grandfather was German, so I did not know that. So I'm going to have to.
It was a good rhyming name.
I'll have to look it up after.
But, going to kill me when she hears this. But yeah, that was her nickname amongst all the band. Most of the girls that we knew had terrible nicknames.
Oh my gosh. Sorry, all of good. You. Terrible or good, depending on your point of view.
There were some bad ones. But yeah, so she's, like I said, she's still a friend of mine.
Oh my gosh.
But we went out and like somebody like literally popped up out of nowhere and started snapping photos. And she started screaming at him in German. And I'm like, what's going on? You know, I'm just trying to have a nice little, you know, it was a little romantic dinner with this girl that I really liked. And he was just trying to get some pictures for a magazine. And she snapped on him and, you know, told him to delete them. I guess he did because I never saw them anywhere.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, it was like that. That's weird. Like that doesn't happen to me.
Well, it does. Not now.
Yeah.
Maybe necessarily, but
like,
back then.
It's not real. Like,
But it was real back in the day.
And that's the thing. Like, it was so bizarrely cool.
That's
And
crazy.
It was annoying. Like, I was annoyed that somebody would do that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was like, all right, can you do that again?
Okay.
Like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Know,
and when I see people complaining, like, oh, the paparazzi, I'm like, but secretly, aren't you a little like, hey, that was fun?
It wasn't, it wasn't as messed up as I made it seem.
Yeah, like I hated the picture because I looked terrible in it, but it was cool that you
But it was kind of cool that you cared enough to take the picture. No, I love that. I love that story. Okay, so tell me, like, who is the coolest, like, who were some of the cool other musicians outside the Bloodhound Gang that you, like, toured with or that you got to know during your, 14 years with the Bloodhound Gang?
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Who?
One of the really super cool things that I got to do that I always remember, I'm a big punk rock fan, you'll even know the band when I talk about them. But I was at a festival and I was in line and I noticed he was in front of me. Joe Strummer, who's a famous musician, but he's from The Clash, which you probably remember The Clash.
Yes,
he was in front of me, and I was like, wow. He, at that
You're
point,
talking
he was,
my era.
He was solo. He was doing his own thing. And, he's standing there, and I'm like, wow, that's like Joe Strummer, from The Clash.
Yeah.
And my sister was a huge fan of The Clash.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was kind of, my sister Steph.
Okay.
And, I'm sure Neom loved him too. And, I was just standing there. I was like, wow, that's cool. And he turns around and he's like, oh, hey, you're the guitar player from Bloodhound Gang, aren't you? And I was like, hey, my name's Lucas.
Oh my
gosh. And he's like, hey, I'm Joe. And I'm like,
I know you.
So we start chatting. He's like, yeah, my kids love the Bad Touch. You know, like they watch that video all the time.
Absolutely.
Like, and he's like rolling his eyes, it's driving me nuts, that video. And, so, we have a little chat about music, videos and stuff. And then at the end of it, we're kind of at the end of our little cafeteria line. He's like, hey, you want to sit down and have lunch? So we just sat down and we just talked about touring and music and bands we liked and videos we had seen in Germany that we liked. And I was just like, wow, and he was just a guy that day. Like, he was just a nice, cool guy to talk to.
Oh, my gosh.
But
what
in
a
my
cool
head,
story.
He's drummer,
yes.
Like, and to him, he was like, oh my god, it's the guy from the Bloodhound Gang.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
And we just had a nice lunch and I was like, how cool, like that, to have met somebody like him. It was not that long after that he passed away, so it was even more like
important,
special to me. I got to see him before that.
I love that. I did not know that.
And he
story.
Was super super just down to earth, cool guy.
Sounds great. I did not know that.
And that's what I learned probably the most about touring.
Yeah.
Like once you're in that, like it's a small
in
community.
That bubble?
And you're in that bubble.
Yeah.
And amongst those people.
Yeah.
Like most of them are all the same.
Yeah.
I always tell stories about Marilyn Manson, love him or hate him. Everybody's got opinions on him. But whenever I saw him, he would just be the goofiest dork. Like, here's this man,
that.
like, when when we were coming up, like it was during his Antichrist Superstar record, which was, you know, people were protesting outside of stadiums.
Yes, it was so significant.
You know, I mean, his show was very
controversial. Yes.
One of the greatest shows I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't a fan of his music and I saw the show.
Yeah.
You know, and the music, I didn't hate the music. I just.
Wasn't your thing.
You know, it was. Okay.
Right.
It was interesting.
Yeah.
But when I saw the show, I was like, I get it.
Yeah.
It was so intense.
Yeah.
And so I got why people were upset about it and everything. Yeah. But when I would see him, he would just be like, hey, buddy, what's going on? You know, like, I'm like, you're just some dorky kid that wants to hang out. And,
I
you know,
love that, though.
You know, goof off.
We
used to always talk about, I was telling Katie this, the movie Rat Boy. Have you ever seen that movie?
No, but I know the movie.
So, like, I haven't seen it. It was an early cable movie where, like, when cable didn't have any movies, so they would just play the same movie over and over.
Yeah, yeah.
And anybody that's, you know, I'm 53 now, anybody that's my age that had cable in the early days probably knows that movie. Like, it just would not stop playing.
That's so crazy.
And I don't know how many times I've seen him, and he's one of the few people I've ever met that knows the movie. And he's just like, oh my God, like Rat Boy. Cause he thought our drummer looked like the guy in the movie.
I love it.
And so, oh my gosh. Like that's the conversation I have with the evilest man on the planet.
I love it.
You know, like,
oh my gosh.
So you get to know these people on just a normal level like that.
Right. So it's exactly. Cool, so it is. And it's so actually in so many ways, it's kind of hard to comprehend in many ways. One of the things I do want to ask you that I do know the answer to this, but how do you feel about boy bands?
Dave wrote this question.
Yes, Dave loves the fact that, your take on boy bands.
You know, when, you know, growing up, I was a big punk rock metal guy.
I know.
Ooh, that stuff's gross.
It's the antithesis of that.
I've been doing a thing on Instagram lately where I've been posting like some of the like influential albums I grew up with that meant something to me. And one of the things I talked about was I mentioned Depeche Mode.
Yeah.
And like, you know, they were all synthesizers and sequencers.
Yeah. Remember.
And I was so into like punk and metal at that time that I was like, ew, that stuff's stupid. who would listen to that? And it was actually Jimmy Bop from the Bloodhound Gang that turned me on to it.
Really?
And taught me, like, you know, we used to play this game where he would play a record and then I'd play a record.
Okay.
And the story, you know, he's told it a million times in interviews. He would play, you know, like a Depeche Mode record for me. And be like, okay, I get it now.
Okay.
And then I would play like a Slayer record for him. And he'd be like, okay, yeah, I get it now. You know, and so we would just kind of trade back and forth.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I had heard all the Depeche Mode stuff. I just wasn't into it.
Yeah.
But then I learned what it was, like, and what went into it. And like, I started to hear the melodies and appreciate that. So with the boy band stuff, you know, like, I mean, I would much rather go see a rock band anytime. I
understand.
But, like, the talent and just the art of it, like, and putting it all together.
Totally agree.
And so the first time I ever went to see NSYNC, they actually had invited us to Orlando.
Oh, that's so cool.
To go see them. And so we were in California somewhere, and we flew to Orlando.
Okay.
And met, like, Joey Fatone's family, awesome people.
Oh, my gosh.
Super, super cool.
Love it.
Hung out with them. And, like, you know, his mother was super nice to us. Like, you know, treat us like family.
I love these stories.
So, you know, got to, you know, hang out with Joey Fatone and his family.
Yeah, who
doesn't
want that?
You know, who has that story? That's weird.
Yeah.
And so we go to the show, and it's in a stadium, of course. At that time, they were massive.
Yeah.
And, well, I'll tell you the live part of it. So we get to our seats, and, like, we're in the center of the stadium, kind of behind the recording or the mixing desk.
Yeah.
And there's nice couches. It's like a VIP area for family.
Okay.
And so we sit in these seats and everything. And it was Joey Fatone's mom that turned around and she said, hey, do you need some earplugs? And she had a set of earplugs in her. And I was like, nah, I'm good. Like, you know, I'm a professional.
I'm a pro.
Like, yeah. Like, what are you talking about, lady? Get out of here.
I don't need earplugs. Like, of course, I'm deaf, but.
and I will say to anybody listening out there, please wear your earplugs. It's not good. But, you know, I was young and stupid. And I liked loud and
I understand.
I was fine with it.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever. And everybody kind of blew her off. And They went on stage, and I never will hear a sound like that. Imagine 20,000 wow. teenage girls yeah. screaming at
yeah.
once.
Yeah. It had to be overwhelming.
There's a certain pitch to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the volume of
yeah, it. Yeah. Is probably mind blowing.
Like I could feel it in my ears. Yeah. Not just, yeah. you know,
probably
hear it.
Still now. But yeah.
I could feel that pressure on right. the eardrum. And it blew me away. I was like, wow. Now that I know so, why yeah. they want.
Well, now I have a better appreciation for why you love the whole boy band era.
Yeah. So they were a great band, and they were super great people. And the other story, and it's a famous story, and the band used to just drill me over it. But, you know, we get to meet, you know, we go backstage.
Everybody.
We're down in the tunnels.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
And they were all in the catering area. So they came out and they, you know, oh, you know, the guys are here. And they were fans of us.
Okay, cool.
So, you know, they wanted
so
to meet us.
So it was a mutually kind of, yeah, reciprocal thing.
So they
thing.
Came out, and, you know, Joey came out. And, hey, he was always super friendly with us. And Lance came out, and, you know, chat with him. And then Justin Timberlake came out.
Oh, wow.
And I was excited. I was like, wow, you know, I've seen him. You know, I hadn't met him really and talked to him.
Yeah, Cry Me a River.
He's like, you know, hey, you know, Lupus, I'm Justin. I'm like, hey, Justin, how you doing? Nice to meet you. You know, yeah. like, great to see you. I'm really excited for the show. And he's like, yeah, and this is my girlfriend, Brittany. And she sticks her hand out and I shake her hand. And as I'm shaking her hand, I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. That's not Britney.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
Your name is not Britney.
I didn't
your name
even...
is Britney freaking Spears.
Oh, my gosh. And, I did not know this story at all.
And so, like, in my head.
Oh, my gosh. I've seen Britney in concert.
Like,
that's so amazing.
Oh, my God. It's Britney Spears. Like, I'm freaking out.
I'm freaking
because
out.
Because you don't introduce Britney Spears as, hey, this is my girlfriend, Britney.
Yeah,
you know, whatever.
Exactly.
No
but
big
it was.
Deal. And so, you know, I'm like, hey, I'm. And I started to stutter, and I was like, because my brain hit the Britney Spears part, and I suddenly couldn't say her name or my name. So I was like, I'm Lupus. And the band just had a field day for years. I probably
hit
one of
me,
my
baby,
last
one
shows,
more time.
You know, they were still making fun of me for it. And I felt like such an idiot. I was just like, oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. But, I didn't know that story either.
And she was
either.
Super nice. And we all went out the night that night and, like, went drinking. You know, I don't think they should have been drinking.
Brittany, too?
So I always used to brag that, like, basically.
I need this story.
Basically, I made out with Britney Spears.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't. Because she was sharing a bottle with me. So, like, we were passing around a bottle. So she drank from it, then I drank from it. So, I mean, effectively.
It's still kind of the same thing.
And she would not stop asking me for cigarettes. She was like, hey, you got a cigarette? And I was like, of course.
Oh, my gosh. I love Britney Spears. That's amazing.
And it was, you know, she was still, you know, like, young and, I don't want to say innocent. That's not the word.
It was early on.
Before the crazy stuff happened.
Yes, I understand.
And, you know,
before life.
She was huge at that point, but she wasn't, like, you know, tabloid fodder.
Understand. Yeah,
but yeah,
it was in the infancy.
It was, you know, come on. How cool is that?
No, it's super cool. It's super cool.
But yeah, they were all super nice. And I went to see them several times.
Oh, my gosh.
You know,
I did not know any of
this. I have some other stories about their shows that I can't share.
Oh, I know, but.
There's a Philadelphia show that was pretty good.
Oh my gosh!
What I remember of it.
I want to. Well, you're coming back. I mean, Dad. Obviously, you're a producer, but you're also a friend of the podcast. So you're here for every show. So we're having you back again. But what I want to know is, do you know the Jonas Brothers?
No,
you
don't. They weren't. I don't think they were all that big.
At the
point,
time,
like they may have been big on just, the young side.
Yes, probably
it was
the teenage.
Still
yes.
like the Disney.
Yes,
thing
understand.
At that point.
So they had not hit their kind of stride, so to speak.
So no, I never met them, never bumped into them.
Oh my gosh.
If you're
gosh.
Out there, guys, give me a call. Let's hang out.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
We should get the Jonas Brothers on.
I know there's
You wouldn't be able to interview them.
I know exactly. It'd be too cool. I wonder if they drink. I hope they drink. I think they might. I don't know. They'd have to do a shot first. But anyway, we'll figure it out. So, oh my gosh. I mean, so one last thing I want to ask you. What has it been like to transition from the Bloodhound Gang into real estate? And obviously, we didn't even scratch the surface on what all you do in the real estate world. But I'm just curious, what was that transition like?
Horrible.
Yeah.
You know, not the transition to real estate so much. You know, I love real estate.
No, I understand.
And you know that I found my calling in real estate.
Yeah, for sure.
But the time after I quit was very ugly. I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. Yeah. I didn't know how to do anything with my life.
14 years is a big part of your life.
And, you know, and I always say, like, I didn't know how to do simple things. And I don't mean that, you know, I didn't know how to, you know, cook a meal or, you know, load the dishwasher or something.
Still,
but everything is taken care of.
You live in a different world. I know.
You live in a bubble.
Yeah.
You know, nothing scares you.
Right.
You know, if somebody threatened to beat me up,
whatever.
Go ahead. Take a swing, man. Yeah. There's 20 guys
here
that are going to beat you.
Yeah,
you know,
I've got people.
Don't stop with your stupidness.
Yeah.
You know, in the real world, you know, somebody threatens to beat you up, you got to worry about it.
It's like, I got to run.
You know, and just everything. Like, yeah. Life's different. You know, I always talk about, like, we had an assistant, and I'm sure they all hated me. You know, but, like, you would come off stage, I'm dripping with sweat, I've got beer all over me, you know, God knows what else. There was all sorts of craziness sometimes on stage.
I'm sure.
You know, I would literally just like start unbuckling my pants and like drop my shorts, pull off my jersey, my hockey jersey that I wore, and throw it on the floor, pull my underwear off, grab a fresh pair, put them on, you know, like, and just walk away
right.
and go get a beer.
Because that's how
and
it was.
Somebody picked them up. And that sounds so terrible, you know, like.
But it was life as you knew it.
Pick up my clothes for me.
No.
But
it's just what happened.
That's how it, you know, was.
Right.
And, you know, and it's not that I struggled, like I, you know, didn't come home and like, you know, drop my pants on the floor and expect my wife to pick them up. You know, she'd have smacked me. but, you know, just... Like, life was so different.
Yeah, it was a major shift.
And her and I had to figure out, because we had gotten used to living apart a lot of the time.
Right.
So, like, you know, I always joke that, you know, I'd come home and I'd be like, hey, what are we watching tonight? What's on TV? And she's like, shut up.
Yeah.
Like, let me watch
because they have to adapt to their own life while you're gone.
And she did an amazing job at it. And, you know, I give her all the credit in the world for being able to put up with what is, you know, touring life.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not easy to be on that other side.
Right, right.
And then
I can only imagine.
I came home and then, you know, because I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. I'd spent 14 years doing this.
Yeah.
I missed out on
everything.
Going to college and building a career and all these things that other people did.
Right.
So then I became really depressed about it because...
Sure.
I didn't have a life trajectory,
to go back to.
And, you know, I tried real estate because I liked the idea of, like, kind of, I didn't want a 9-to-5.
Right.
Which is really funny.
Which is now 24/7.
Yeah, I don't know.
Little did you know, it's way worse.
But, you know, and I've said this to you a million times, I credit you with a lot of it, like, because even though I was... starting to try to figure things out and I was doing okay, you know, and I was a real estate agent. I was making okay money.
Sure.
Wasn't the best agent yet, you know, still had
time to invest.
Yeah,
but you were finding your way. Yeah.
But I wasn't loving being an agent.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about giving up my license and, you know, we threw a series of introductions, you know, I met you. Wound up being offered a job with you, and I didn't want the job.
Yeah.
Because
I remember.
Stupid 9-to-5. Yeah. It was gross.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, exactly.
I've never had one of those.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah, that was like a foreign thing at the time.
And I thought, you know, I remember saying to people, like, I don't know if I could do it. Like, I might go crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And talked to my then wife. Well, we were in the middle of a divorce at that point.
Yeah.
And, you know, said, like, I don't know what should I do? And she said, well, you need the money. I said, because she was helping support me at that point. You know, I took it and you helped me, you know, break away from that depression, but also find what it was that I do love
about
real
estate.
Like, I love real estate. I just don't want to show houses.
Yeah.
I don't want to cart you around all day.
Yes, understand.
You know, I always make the joke, like, I hated... you know, showing houses because here's the kitchen. Yeah, no kidding. It's the thing with the stove and the refrigerator. Do I really need to point that out?
Exactly.
And you could do it all day long.
I do. I love
and you're
it.
An expert at it.
No, but I don't know about that, you know, but I love it.
I would just open the door and be like, do you like it or not? Like, could we
pick one.
Make an offer? You know. I'm from the John Allen Iva School of Real Estate.
I love like that. On that. Oh my God, I love that.
But you That's helped me great. Find like I love the legal side, the
sure.
contracts, the
yes.
figuring it out.
Well,
like, and then I love the marketing. I love the creativity.
Yes. yes.
You know, I love doing yeah. the podcast.
The technical side. The yeah.
Yeah.
I
you
think the
allowed,
difficult side.
You allowed me to do that while also getting me to do things that you know I didn't quite know. What to do, you know, making a listing presentation.
I know. Yeah, but
you
so...
got me to do those things and gave me the freedom, like, to play with the website.
Yes.
And
yes.
encouraged
but
it.
But you were so good at it.
And But, you know, had you not encouraged it, you know, I
you
may
had
not
the
have
talent.
Figured it out.
I just had to turn you
but,
loose.
But I may not have found a job to do that in, and I may never have, I might not be in this position.
I
know,
disagree.
Today.
But I'm just, we're very lucky
I mean,
and happy
you
that
know,
it worked
you,
out this
you,
way.
You've met my family before.
Yes.
You know, like my dad used to always say, you know, every time I talked to him, he would always be like, oh, you know, you're so lucky. Like Kim's such a great person. Like, you know, she
he didn't
really,
know me.
But, you know, he really understood that you gave me that opportunity and trusted me. And that's a big thing, you know, and employers should learn that. Like, trust people,
yeah.
let them do the things,
yeah.
and let them make some mistakes.
Sure.
And you know I've made many of them with you.
We all have.
You know, and some probably should have been fireable, but you know.
Well, you are Olympus Thunder.
But, you know, like, you give people that opportunity, and they will show you what they can do.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I really
but I
appreciate
love watching,
that.
I love watching the transition that you made, and so successfully. And you've been such a critical and amazing, to me, piece of our family in real estate. And so we wouldn't be where we are right now without you. So
that's very nice.
Yeah.
Thank
no.
you.
So it's all full circle.
Yeah,
so,
but, you know, it worked out. And, you know, I'm so lucky because I could have wound up just going to McDonald's or something, you know, finding
oh,
some
that
dumb
would
job.
Have, that would not have happened.
That didn't satisfy me, that didn't give me any satisfaction. And, you know, after the band, which I was, you know, a slave to in many
yeah,
ways.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then
yeah.
I was getting divorced. Like, I married my job
yeah.
after that. And I
yeah.
invested in that
yeah.
and put my time into it.
Yeah.
And I think it's paid off very
yes,
well.
Yes, absolutely. No, for sure. Well, it has been so amazing to have you on the podcast. It's so cool to have you on this side of the camera. So Katie has done an amazing job. Ooh. She's out there. She's running the helm on both sides. She's been, you probably haven't seen it, but she's back and forth throughout this whole podcast doing both the sound and the video. So welcome to the part of the podcast, Feral or Fabulous. We have him on the Feral or Fabulous part of the podcast, and he has no idea what I'm going to know.
He's
terrified. He should be terrified.
Well, I've had to sit through these so many times.
He's had to watch all these episodes of everybody else doing the paddle of Feral or Fabulous.
You know what's funny? I actually had like terror dreams about it because the fear I have is getting it wrong and being like, fabulous. Oh, wait, no.
That's
I don't know which
point.
Side is which.
That's a good point because I've always been on this side of the camera. I haven't been on that
yeah, it's
side.
It's fun to
so
watch people do it.
It's got to be way easier to, you know. But I've got several things for you. So the first one is hot dogs.
Oh, absolutely fabulous. I don't care how you cook. One of my favorite, this is gross really, but like one of my favorite hot dog cooking methods
yeah.
is the old microwave.
Really?
Throw it in there for a minute and
okay.
slap it in a bun and I'll eat
okay.
a couple of those.
You know what? I love a good hot dog. I really do.
Grilled, boiled, I don't
yeah.
care.
Yeah, and
fried.
I even like them from the movies. Like, oh my gosh. Remember
oh, no,
when
gas
we went to
hot
the...
dogs?
Remember, oh yeah, I'm not going to lie. I like a hot dog pretty much from anywhere. Remember when we went to the Twilight like marathon and we were in the theater from like the morning till midnight. I think it finished after midnight. All the five different Twilight. And I think I don't know how many hot dogs we ate that time. It was hot dogs and popcorn, and it was amazing. So I thought you were going to say yes, but I just wanted to do a double check.
And I mean, it's not even, like, I'll eat turkey dogs, I'll eat chicken dogs,
okay.
I'll eat beef, pork. I don't care.
You don't care.
Like,
I do.
You know, and I mean, do I have my preferences?
Yeah.
Sure. you know, do I prefer like a good hot dog? Yeah.
Me too.
You know,
I'll do a sausage dog. I'll do a beef hot dog. I don't necessarily, I wish I did. I don't like turkey dogs.
They're just not as good.
They don't have all the nitrites and, you know, the bad stuff in them. I like all that horrible
pork and
stuff.
Beef are the winners.
Exactly.
There's no doubt.
Exactly.
But if it's shaped like a hot dog and a bun.
There's something about those chemical altering,
you know,
stuff
I won't
in the.
Eat those.
Yeah, no.
The vegetarian ones?
No, I gotcha.
They taste like tuna fish. And I'm like,
I don't like tuna fish.
Why does a vegetable thing taste like tuna
exactly.
fish?
Exactly. That's a scary thing.
That's trying to be a hot dog.
Yeah. No, I don't like tuna fish, so I really don't like those. Sounds awful. Okay. Cooking.
Oh, I'm going to say fabulous.
Okay. I wasn't sure what you were going to say, actually.
But I'm going to say it's feral, too, because cooking for one sucks.
I know.
You know, I go home right now, like tonight I'll go home and I probably won't cook for myself.
Yes.
Or I'll reheat something.
Yeah,
you know,
understand.
Or make some noodles.
Yeah. No, I get that.
But when, you know, when I was married and like, especially coming off a tour.
Yeah. Did you like to cook?
Because, you know, on tour you were eating out of bags all
yes.
the time, you know.
So it was kind of fun to be home. And
so I'd go home and I had no job. So, and I had money, so
which
I was like,
which is a great combination.
Yeah, I know. Like what, you know, I used to ask
who
my,
wouldn't love
my
that
wife,
combo?
Like, what do you want to eat tonight?
Yeah.
And she would tell me and I would go and, you know, I remember one time, like I made like a seafood risotto, but like, instead of just like buying some, you know, like
anything,
like a lobster tail or something. Like I bought whole lobsters. I cooked the whole lobster, you know, used the broth from that to like, you know, make the risotto.
Oh my gosh. I'm surprised you didn't go into the whole chef thing.
Could have just bought, you know, some shrimp and thrown it in and been happy with that. But you know, like
you went out of the way to do the whole presentation. Yeah.
But yeah, definitely not so much now.
Yeah.
And I'm
but that's why I think you're a foodie. Because I think you have an appreciation for quality food.
Well, and I learned that on tour. You know, we would go out.
Right.
And like when we did have the time.
You would go to the really cool.
We would go somewhere nice.
Really
and there
awesome
was me, the tour manager, and Jim. We had a thing. Like we would always go out to like, we'd pick like a really swanky restaurant.
Yeah.
Like one we didn't belong in.
Yeah.
And we would pick it. And then one of us had to pay the bill.
Yeah.
So we would do it like one night. It was mine, and I was like, "Oh, I don't want to pay this bill. I can't afford this one."
Whose turn is it?
And I mean, we would all go crazy. We'd buy the good bottle of wine.
You would spend the money.
I remember drinking $40 glasses of scotch.
Oh my
one
gosh!
Time. I'm not even much of a scotch guy,
right?
But you know,
it was the principle.
When you can drink the fancy one, let's go for it. You
right,
know?
Live large.
And so we would do it, and somebody got stuck with the bill.
I hear you, so
I learned like, oh, there's good food beyond,
beyond that
Waffle House.
Yes, exactly. That's a whole other episode, right?
We could film at Waffle House. I'd be there in a minute.
Yes, I know you would. Okay. Hang gliding.
Oh, I have to go with feral.
Okay.
On that.
Now, I didn't know.
Here's the thing. It's kind of like skydiving for me. Like,
okay.
I'm not going to do it anytime soon.
Okay.
I don't think ever.
Okay. But you didn't rule it out when you said, I don't think I'll do it.
I think it's probably the coolest thing ever when I'm doing it.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Like, I imagine that's really cool.
Okay.
Like, just being up there and being able to see, you know, the...
Yeah. No, I don't think that at all. I don't like the idea.
I would love it.
No, thank you.
Hey, Kim, I got this great idea. Let's go skydive.
No.
Hang gliding.
Either one of those things.
I'd lose my job.
Yeah. not happening.
I'll get you on a cruise before I get you on one of those.
Probably, and that's not happening either. So.
I know. But yeah, like, it's one of those things, like, you know, I think about skydiving a lot. Like, I'm sure during it, I would be terrified. But landing, I'd be like, oh my, that was the coolest thing.
Yes.
We got to go do it again.
Yeah, exactly.
But to jump out of the plane?
No. No, thank you.
You couldn't get me to do it.
No.
And so that's the... kind of the same thing. Like, I don't know that I could jump off the cliff and hope that this thing's going to hold me up.
Yeah.
But once I was gliding through the air, I'd probably be like, wow.
Yeah.
This
amazing.
Is amazing.
Yeah. No, I relate to that, although I wouldn't do it.
Yeah. So you
couldn't get me to do it.
You got to like knock me out, tie me to the hang gliding thing, push me off the cliff,
plow you
and
full
then
of
like
tequila.
Somebody's gonna inject me with the drug that like wakes me up, and I'm like, oh, this isn't bad.
A miracle.
now, what do I do when I land?
I love it. Oh my gosh. Okay, fire pits.
Oh, fabulous. Okay. Now, I will say, like, I hate, you know, when you're, you know, at a camp or something, you know, you've got fire going.
Yeah.
And you get like just, you're on the wrong end and the smoke's all in your face.
Well, you know, I can't do a fire pit.
That's awful.
Yeah.
But, you know, I always loved the theory of camping, but yeah. I never went camping a lot. Like my dad hated camping, yeah. so we yeah, didn't yeah, go yeah. as kids. But okay. like,
but
like
you
I
like
love
the
sitting
idea.
Around the campfire.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, you're into
out,
that. Okay.
Nice warm.
Like you like a good s'more and you like.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, I love the idea of it. I like to watch other people enjoy it. I can't actually be around smoke of any sort.
Yeah.
Not even at a table in a restaurant with a candle burning, I'm going to die. So, yeah, I love the idea of it.
And you camping even without a fire is
no,
pretty
not
funny
happening.
Thought.
No, not happening. Yeah, that's just not happening. So, acoustic guitar.
Oh. I got to say it's feral.
Okay.
So the reason I say that, though, is because it's hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
And
that's the only thing.
To do really
yeah.
well, especially.
Right, right. And that's how I learned. I learned on acoustic guitar, and I played electric, but not like you played electric. But to me, I love acoustic, but I didn't think you were going to. So I was right.
Electric covers up a lot of mistakes. You know, especially kind of stuff I was playing, you know, like
maybe, but
you crank up that distortion, you know, the
I
louder
know,
it goes.
But electric now, is so cool.
You still have to, you know, play okay. I mean, yeah. you know, you can't make
yeah, but
every
I was
note
playing
bad.
Like Malagueña, you know,
but,
I mean,
but like, and but having said that, like, you know, truly talented acoustic guitar players
yeah.
are amazing to watch. Monty, you know, obviously,
oh,
you've taken me to
amen.
See him.
Amen, Monty
three
Montgomery,
times now.
Incredible and guitarist, absolutely.
The first time I saw him, I had heard his name, but I didn't know who he was.
Yeah,
and you took me to see him,
yeah.
and
Monty is. Yeah,
I spent most of the time with my mouth open, like
100%. Yeah,
that I could watch him play guitar all
me
day.
Me too,
long.
All day. Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
So you know, it's not that I don't like acoustic guitar. I
understand.
It's just I don't like it for me because it's a lot harder.
It is. No, I do agree with that. But like I said, I like it just because I grew up with it. But I didn't think you were going to necessarily go there. Okay, last one. You ready? Murals.
Murals. Oh, fabulous.
Really?
Public art is fantastic,
okay.
and there
I
should
didn't
be more
know.
Of it.
Okay. Really?
Philadelphia has a long tradition of, like, public art.
I did not know that. Okay.
Some really good public art, some famous public art even.
Cool.
And I just think, you know, I love driving down and seeing what, you know, somebody's painted.
Awesome.
You know, and I know there's plenty of murals that aren't all that exciting, but you know,
in general.
I think it, especially, like, I know they do a lot of it with kids. I think it's a great thing for kids,
yeah.
like get them out
True.
There, cleaning yep. up their city.
Yes.
You know, teaching
okay.
them some art
yeah.
and, you know, and usually they're historical or cultural, you know, in nature.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's good
yeah.
in that sense.
No, I get that.
But I just like the beautification of
yeah.
things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, if I were a billionaire,
yeah.
I would own all the art in the world.
Oh, really?
Like,
okay.
would just buy up crazy art. Like,
okay.
I love
That's
paintings
super cool.
and
yeah, yeah, yeah.
stuff like that.
Okay. I knew you liked it. I didn't understand you had that much of a love for it, but that's super cool.
Yeah, I can
love
never
it.
Remember the guy's name. There's a big mural in Philadelphia. He's famous, but he painted whales all over the place.
Okay.
Like, they're in different cities,
yeah.
but there's a big one in Philadelphia, and I would drive by it all the time and see it, you know, as
oh
I
my
came
gosh.
Home and stuff. So I always thought about that, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah, very
like it's
cool.
Just like, why is there a whale in a building? You know, but... But it yeah. looked cool.
Love it. Well, this has been amazing. I am so
it's
happy that
fun.
it has been so long coming. We've been talking about this from the inception, you know, for several months ago. So I'm so glad to have you on, Feral and Fabulous and Feral or Fabulous. So we look forward to having you on next time for your Friends of the Podcast next episode. And thank you for joining us for Feral and or Fabulous. So we'll see you next time. Bye.